Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Golf courses are able to reopen beginning tomorrow in Massachusetts. Are you rejoicing today, Hardy?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we are.
Yeah. I'm happy for everyone who's going to get a chance to get out and play. I actually think they can. I think you can play today.
Oh, it is. It's today. I read that it was Friday, but okay.
Yep. Now, a lot of courses, the course that I play at, they sent out a letter this morning, and I think a lot of clubs are doing the same thing because they said they needed, you know, time to get stuff ready that they're going to open tomorrow. So a lot
Got
of places
okay.
are not going to have, you know, players tomorrow.
But as soon as they announced it, I'm reading here that you are allowed to open today if you are able to open today.
Are they going to do food hard?
I'm sure a lot are opening tomorrow, but still. So here are the rules. There are 19 guidelines, though, that have been put in place. These are all the rules. Ready?
Yep.
Number one. And just react as I read them, I guess. Security personnel can be delineated by each club. For example, a pro and the head starter, and will be present to enforce social distancing. There can be no other employees working at the recreational component of the golf operation.
Huh?
I'm just reading it as it's written.
Security personnel can be delineated by each club. There can be no other employees working at the recreational component of the golf operation. Okay. So they don't want a full staff of assistant pros, blah, 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 unless you're there. You're there as, quote, unquote, security.
Security.
Okay.
To be able to enforce social distancing. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Number two, all staff must wear face coverings while on the property.
All right.
Seems simple enough. Number three, course facilities, including but not limited to the clubhouse, golf shop, restaurant, bag room, and locker room, must remain closed. Restaurants
okay, so no, you
closed.
You can't serve sandwiches, huh?
Well,
that seems
some
odd.
Some places, though, I'm sure have been working that have a separate restaurant operation from the golf course where they're separate
like
have already been doing takeout. Yeah. And you
right.
can do
yeah,
takeout
why can't you do
there.
Takeout
so
sure. Okay.
I think you might be able to do takeout from some of these restaurants.
I read that
My guess is that this means you can't actually go into these places.
Can't
you
go into the restaurant.
Can't
go
into
the clubhouse.
That's fair. That's
right.
Can't go into the locker room. Yeah. And can't go into the pro shop.
Yes.
Okay.
No caddies are allowed.
Who's going to carry my bag?
I don't know. No golf carts are allowed.
So no carts. This is a big one. This is one that we had talked about a lot.
No carts.
You know, like, who's going to wipe down the carts?
Right.
How do you social distance when you're sitting in a cart? And that's one of the things I said. No carts. You want to play golf, you're going to walk.
Hardy, you've been pushing that all week. No carts.
I've been pushing that for weeks and weeks.
Yes,
you
have.
Want to get out on the golf course and walk around? Literally go get out on the golf course and walk it. No golf carts. Good.
Push carts may be used. Players must either carry their own bag or use a push cart. I don't know why they need that second center there, that second sentence there. Push carts may be used, period. All golfers must maintain proper social distancing of at least 6 feet at all times.
That should be easy.
That's the rule for everybody anyway.
That was the point.
Groups of players are restricted to no more than four players at one time.
Thank
also,
so you can't have a foursome.
Standard.
Yeah, but that's I get it. They, especially when we get to some of these other edicts here, I would have said you could you know, limited to two or three, but there's a reason why they're doing four. So go ahead.
Members only clubs can allow guests as determined by the security personnel on the golf course. Private clubs that allow non-members to make reservations can do so at their discretion.
Yeah, this is all pretty much standard fare for golf courses. Okay.
Maintenance personnel are permitted to work on the course.
Yep, gotta have
cannonball, cannonball.
Tee time policy. Okay, here's one related to the actual golfing. Tee time policy must be that there are 15 minutes between groups.
That's a long time, and it some courses, you know, like public courses where they're trying to jam in as many rounds as they can. They might go to like 8 and 9 minutes in between. other courses, I think, you know, 10 minutes is more of a standard. Mm-hmm. 15 minutes is going to ensure this, you know, this proper distancing. 15 minutes is a long time. That's long enough for, you know, even a slow foursome to tee off and get quite a ways away before the next group is going to be up there ready to hit.
Golfers must stay in their car until 15 minutes before their tee time and must return to their car immediately following play.
This is where golfers are going to screw this up for everybody. And I say screw it up for everybody because nobody feels that golf is an essential business. Nobody needs to go play golf. But it's kind of served as this early opening benchmark. It's like,
yes, well, this is the point.
People
are taking this wrong on social media. I've stated this for the last 3 weeks. I am not an avid golfer. I will not be running to play. I will not be booking a tee time within the next 2 weeks. This is to help other people in small businesses and restaurants, because if this is open, now we can start concentrating on the next phase of getting these people up and running. Because if you can't even have a freaking golf course open, you have no hope as a small business. This is more about small business than golf to me.
You're raising a good point here. What if people don't follow this 15-minute stay-in-your-car rule?
And this is why I say this is where golfers have the opportunity to screw it up for everyone else. Because as we heard from an emailer yesterday, and a couple of people have called in, it's like, yeah, you know, we had members before this thing, you know, got locked down, and or in other states where they show up and they're shaking hands and they're grab assing and they're standing around, because, you know, for them it's as much about the socializing as it is
smoking a cigar.
It's like no, you could go somewhere else and do that. If you must go to your house and do that, even though that's, you know, that's advised against too. But don't do it out in public in full view of other people. You want to have some stuff reopen. Just don't show up, you know, really, really early. Sit in your car for a few minutes. Walk up there, tee off, and when you get done, go home. And if people don't do that, there's a chance
it's not
they're
gonna
screw
happen.
The...
I can almost guarantee it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen, but good luck. Staying in the car. It's not that hard of a rule. Just stay in the car and go back to your car. Online and remote payment options must be utilized. That seems like pretty straightforward. Call ahead or pay online, whatever you need to do. All golfers must use their own golf clubs. No sharing of golf clubs or rental. And rental golf clubs not allowed.
Yep.
Flag sticks must remain in the hole. Hole liners must be raised. So picking the ball up out of the hole doesn't need to happen. It's
now this
raised. You know, we've seen foam.
It's pretty neat.
Noodles cut and put in there.
There's a mechanism where you could take your putter and lift a hook, and it pops your ball out because
nobody has those yet.
It slides up the stick.
There are
but
different
has
ways.
Them yet.
Wachusett has it.
Yeah, some people
have. Oh, they
have
got them?
Yeah, they released a video.
That's huge.
Here's what we have. This is
the way
you're
going to golf.
One of the
early ones.
Yeah.
Like, they're making it, which is a great invention, but it's just that it's not widely available yet. But
I would rather have the whole liners raised, because that way, especially on those nasty little 6-footers with a lot of break, no, I'm just going full bore right at that cup. And if I clang the whole liner raised up, nope, that I hold it out.
That counts.
Put me down for a 7. Woo!
But the flag sticks are remaining in because they don't want you pulling it out and putting it back in and touching it. They don't want that. Number 17. Of the 19 rules, bunker rakes must be removed. All ball washers must be removed or covered so that they are not accessible. No washing your balls, Hardy.
Jim will be removed from the course. He's a ball washer.
Wash your balls in the privacy of your own home, okay?
Yeah, or just use the towel hanging. Use the towel hanging alongside your bag.
I've used that before for other things.
Yeah, keep a towel hanging next to your, you know, Hardy, alongside you ever get stuck your bag. Around, you can use that to wash your balls.
You ever get stuck around that fourth or fifth hole, and oh man, that thing came out of nowhere. I got that towel there. Go out in the woods.
Number 18. Practice putting green, the driving range, and chipping areas all have to be closed.
Yep. Too many people congregating around and getting close to each other, so none of that.
Those are all closed. Number 19. Facilities must have readily accessible hand sanitizer.
Yep.
That's really the only thing that I think is out of the norm, like something that you got to have right now that you maybe normally wouldn't have. Plus, I don't think it's easy to come by right now.
No, it isn't.
So that is one of the things that they are requiring. Those are the 19 rules to be able to go hit the links in Massachusetts starting today. Why don't we pick this up on the other side with your calls here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is the phone number. Let's get to some of your calls. Some reaction to the new 19 golf rules for COVID-19. Rich is in Providence. Hi, Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey,
listen, my son works at a golf course out in Rhode Island. I won't name it. He was a cart kid. And when this whole thing hit, they still had the kids going there. They had two guys in the carts. And these kids were cleaning them. And then all the parents got together and had an uprising. So all the kids said, hey, our parents won't let us clean the carts anymore until this ends. Because I didn't need my son getting sick from this because they wanted to make a few extra bucks on the golf carts. So then, because of the uprising, the course capitulated and got rid of the carts. And now Gina is ready to put the carts as a ban. And I think, Harry, you play golf. You can walk a golf course. You don't need a cart. I think the cart thing is absolutely stupid.
Yeah, it's a way for the golf courses to make money first and foremost. I don't think there's anyone who will debate that. And there are some people who I'm sure physically, you know, can't, you know, walk 9 or 18 holes, or it would be very difficult for them to do so. And that sucks. But when we're talking about, you know, sacrifices that people are going to have to make, okay, then you can't play golf. Hell, people are...
Hardy, have you ever golfed in Myrtle Beach? You had to have at some point.
No,
right?
No, I never have.
Really?
No.
It's like a golf capital down there.
There's courses
every 5 feet.
Dirty little secret. I don't actually play all that much, but go ahead.
You get like the retirees that are, you know, not just like a guy who's 70, but a guy who's like 90 who's still out there golfing.
Right.
And they need the car.
Mr. Haverkamp.
Like, yeah. There's no way they'd be able to pull it off otherwise.
Right.
And they take
Where's
forever.
My ball?
They take forever.
Yeah. And it's true for the people who, you know, need it to go out there and play, or it'd be really difficult for them. But in the overall stuff that's difficult right now, oh, well. It's just... And again, I just think it's funny, too, the timing of this. It's like, all right, let's go play. Well, I had to work today and tomorrow. It's going to freaking snow on Saturday. And then Mother's Day is Sunday. So, oh, great. Yeah, golf back up. If I'm lucky, I'll be out there in a week. That's targeting next week is going to be tough, too. I'll see you out there like middle of May. Maybe.
Well, I mean, it's more like, again, this isn't about the sport of golf. This is about coming around as an economy. And,
correct.
You know, to what the slow opening that's going to occur in Rhode Island. And, you know, like the governor said, hey, we've talked to a lot of people. We have this board now. We're trying to see what our neighbor states are doing and taking their advice. And we're coming up with our plan, as he'll do with the way we'll watch Rhode Island with their slow opening, with the outdoor seating at restaurants, the spacing and all that. And this is first step in a way for us to get back and get going. This gives you hope. You know, this is like, give me a day, the kids are going back to school. It's you have some hope here. It's more of a signal and an indicator of, hey, we're going to get back to normal here at some point.
Yeah,
that may be a long ways away, but it's step one.
I don't feel like it is. It's outdoors, and you're still 6 feet away from one another.
You're the last state to do it. You're the last state.
Correct.
To do it.
Meaning what?
Which means you're probably going to be the last state to do a lot of things, which is scaring some people.
No, but I understand what you're saying, Beetle. This isn't like, movie theaters are back open. No, no. This is allowing, especially with 15 minutes in between tee times, this is allowing, as you know, we laid out yesterday, 70, 80, 100, as many as 150 people out onto a space that spread out covers 150 acres.
Right. Like, what percentage of the population is going to be taking advantage of a golf course being open?
And
it's
not
minuscule.
That many people are going
Doesn't
to take
matter.
It. It's
Doesn't
yeah,
matter
it's
matter
a,
about that.
It's a small thing.
Sure it does. If you're going to compare it to getting back to something normal, I don't think it is. Compare the percentage of the population that uses
back,
a golf course versus using a right. restaurant. Like, those are very different percentages. Those are huge numbers for, you know, retail and for restaurants versus a golf course.
Supposedly the number, and you read it on golf course workers, and we say, well, no, not many people work. There's over 20,000 people that are going to be affected by this that are all of a sudden, bang, going to be right back to work starting today, which is good. That's what I care about. Not can Johnny come swing lately, get his round in. I'm happy for those guys that love the sport and play it.
Johnny Swing Lately?
Whatever. Johnny hit the
Johnny
ball to
Swing
fairway.
Lately.
Johnny hit the ball to fairway guy.
Cortez is
Johnny,
in Worcester.
Johnny Zoom Finder guy. Yes, right?
Hey. Hey, Cortez, what's up?
Hey, I got a flaw in the system.
What?
So I'm a germaphobe, you know, so, you know, people like us have been training for this our whole life, so I can find the loopholes, right?
Yeah.
So you have to handle your golf ball at some point. You got to tee it up, right?
Yeah.
So you're on the putting green, you putt it, it goes to the raised. I'm not sure I understand the thing, but either way, the ball is going to, you know, come to a stop.
Right.
The golfer's going to pick it up. So you're basically coming in contact with other people's hands, essentially.
Yeah, there's no perfect solution for the
right
for the hole without that lift.
Have you ordered takeout yet?
Yeah.
Is he still on? Yeah, I mean,
no, he's not. He
imagine the amount of people that
calling on speakerphone. That's a quick exit. Sorry,
people that cook your food, the people that take your credit card if you pay when we go in, and we'll be talking about this at some point during the show today. You know, the picking up and the tipping, and you know, what are you handing them? Are you handing that person money? Is that person handing you a bag? Who handled that bag before that person? Who opened that bag? Who stapled the bag shut? I mean, we could do this all day. Same thing with golf balls. I mean, but at some point, this is what we need to get used to.
No, yeah. The only ideal solution is the one that you talked about, which is
don't
there
do
is
anything.
A newly designed stick that has a lift on it that you can grab with your putter, and it pops the ball back out of the hole. It's very simple, but it's definitely something that I think all courses should jump on board with.
Yeah, you can.
It's
you
way
can,
better than having the
but like
the,
to his
the
point.
Pool noodle in there or an upside down cup in there or any of those solutions.
Oh, but his point
that,
is crazy.
That
his
lift
point
is awesome.
Yeah, but his point is crazy, though. It's like,
yeah, transfer
well, wait
germs
a second,
from a ball that goes in a cup that comes out. Now those germs are going to get on another ball, and I'm going to touch that ball. You know,
it's like saying, well, wait a second. Do you ever touch the bottom of your shoe when you put your shoe on, and then you go walk on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
And then I walk on that same sidewalk, and then I go home and I take my shoe off, and I touch the bottom of my shoe, which touched the sidewalk that touched your shoe that touched your. It's like, go. Go fret about something else.
I know. Yeah,
I mean,
it's like people are freaking out about the bottle opener on my flip flop. I use that.
But yeah. I mean, there's people who have, you know, real issues with OCD and germaphobe. Then there are people who are just trying to invent stuff to be worried about. We've got plenty enough of real stuff to be worried about right now. Now, worrying about people who are like, I touched my golf ball and then it touched the outside of the cup and then his golf ball touched it before mine did and he had touched his golf. Oh, shut up.
Hardy,
what's
a Jack Nicholson movie?
Just stay inside.
What's a Jack Nicholson movie with Helen Hunt?
As good as it gets.
That's a great movie. Go watch that. That's germaphobes go nuts when they watch that.
Steve is in Webster. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going? So I just wanted to comment on the golf course thing. The course I belong to has been having 240 people a day show up to play. We can't even get tee times anymore. They're booked out, like completely sold out.
Well, now you have more
options. 6:30 a.m. until like 5:30 p.m.
Good.
But, yeah, so it's good for us but I'm just saying, like, a lot of people are using it.
Where is this?
Because everybody's out of
course?
Work. It's called Raceway in Thompson, Connecticut.
Okay. Well, now you can come to Massachusetts.
Hardy's been there.
Hardy's done
a golf show in Connecticut.
Shut up.
Jim, didn't Hardy do that golf show in Connecticut?
No. We don't have time.
With the rolling hills in the woods.
I mean, the forest, majestic down there.
The trees.
Unbelievable.
The huge trees.
Ooh.
That's a ton of people they're getting out there on the golf course. You figure if you did,
you said?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that doesn't sound like they're doing. They're not doing 15 minutes in between tee times.
It's like seven.
But I don't know what the rules are in other states about that time limit. Brent is in Andover. Hi, Brent.
Hey, Mark. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. So I'm actually calling from Southern Maine. And so we've been hunkered down up here since the end of March. And I played at a course called Old Marsh and Wells. And they had the device inside the cup. So your ball hit the hole and it didn't go in. You picked it right up and you left. But my father's playing today at Cape Arundel in Kennebunk, where he's a member. So the way they're doing it there, they're asking you how long you've been quarantined if you're not a Maine resident. So we've been quarantined for 6 weeks. He was allowed to go play today. And him and a bunch of his friends that are all members are playing today. And it's their third day in the last week. But Cape Natick, another golf course about 10 minutes from us, they're only letting Maine residents who are members at that course play. So if you live in Portsmouth and you're a member at Cape Natick, you are not allowed to go play. So it's like the Maine, you know, Golf Association is giving out the rules, but then every course is kind of dictating them how they want to. So
they have the right to do that. The courses can add additional restrictions as they see fit.
And municipalities,
nothing
too.
That stops them from doing that.
Yeah,
right.
Course could decide, hey, we only want to let foursomes on every half hour. You know, we're going to restrict. Not that they will, but I'm just saying they have a right to make up additional rules in addition to the ones that already are out, the 19 golf guidelines.
Right. And you know, we went over all the rules and stuff, but, you know, those guidelines are laid out. But, you know, this isn't you have to open. This is. If you're a private owner, you can open now, is what they're telling you. You don't have to, and you can impose your own restrictions, and the municipalities can do. I believe in the initial statement it said like municipal golf courses, munis. You know, they're owned by the city or county or state, whatever like that. They're allowed to open under these guidelines. It doesn't necessarily mean every course is going to open up now. I think they will, but it's not a slam dunk thing. And then once they are open, there could be other restrictions imposed.
As we continue to come up with new material to watch and new programming to consume our time, while there are no live sports. ESPN has a plan. We've got two more episodes coming up Sunday night of The Last Dance. It's the second to last weekend of it. We're already six in. There's four more to go over the next, 10 days. And then what happens next on ESPN? They've got a plan to fill in the gaps. We'll get to that. Also, this date in show history at 11:50. It's a big one today. That's why we're bringing it back. We'll get to all this on the way. And more of your calls as well. 617-779-0985. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, all you Titan fans, let's all get on board now as we support our Titans as they head on the thing to take them on. TC Boyer.
You need some new bits.
Play some new songs. A song, maybe. Do it.
Thank you, Jim.
Takes me there every time.
617.
You're saying you don't like the John Wayne bit, huh?
No, that's a new one. That's one you just brought into the fold last week. That's new. That's good.
Okay.
That was organic. That's why it was great.
Right. I'd be going to my golf courses and to take the clubs out of the saddle. Where should I tie my horse? At the front? I have to stay on my horse for 15 minutes before I tee off.
I'm sold.
There you go. See, it works.
I'll go back to what I said a minute ago. Time for you to come up with some new bits.
Oh. No.
Morgan Freeman is the one. That one stuck around the longest.
Here's a story from the New York Post going back to yesterday. ESPN is moving up other documentaries after the success of The Last Dance, which, by the way, has done very well in the ratings on Sunday nights nationally. They write, and it's written by Greg Joyce in the Post, "The Last Dance is entering its final two Sundays in a time without live sports, but ESPN isn't letting the well run dry." Starting the week after the Michael Jordan series, ESPN will debut three new 30 for 30 documentaries on Lance Armstrong, Bruce Lee, and the 1998 home run race between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa.
I like the last one.
I do, too. That's the one that I would am most looking forward to.
Not interested in Armstrong.
I am interested in the Bruce Lee one because I don't I don't know a ton about him.
Right.
And so that to me is interesting. The Lance one to me is like, we've covered that, haven't we?
Bruce Lee's the one that said Be Water, right?
And that's the name of it. Yes. That is actually the name of it, Be Water.
Shut the front door.
I'm not kidding. It'll be on June 7th. Be Water will dive into the life of Lee, the martial arts icon. I really don't know a lot about him.
Yeah.
So that one I will watch.
I'm with you on that. Okay.
Lance, probably not.
Yeah, the biker.
It's a two-part look at Lance Armstrong's rise and subsequent crash and burn. Obviously, he beat testicular cancer before winning seven straight Tour de France titles. And then his legacy was later tarnished by his involvement in a doping scandal. Like, that story has been covered so much.
it's been covered. The one thing I would say about the Lance Armstrong one, and like the Bruce Lee one, I think it'll be good based on other 30 for 30s. There was a Bruce Lee, like, came out like in the 80s. It was a Bruce Lee movie that was on a couple of weekends ago. That was like a documentary. I'm like, oh, I'll sit down and watch this for a minute. It was horrific. It was unwatchable. And part of it was just, it was kind of dated, but it felt like a,
you know, like a propaganda piece at time. At times I'm like, no, I can't do this. So if you give like a no holds barred look at Bruce Lee, I think he was a fascinating guy, and I think there could be really good stuff in there. The Lance Armstrong one, I don't want to see one that is all good or all bad, because what the guy did was absolutely amazing, but he was also at times a horrible, awful guy. He tried to ruin the lives of people who dared question that, you know, maybe he was involved in some doping. There were a couple of journalists that just had their lives upended by this guy. I mean, he tried to ruin them financially and professionally, and I think succeeded in at least one of those endeavors. And if they're going to cover all that stuff too, then I'll watch the Lance Armstrong one.
Yeah,
and I think we all agree that the home run chase, that yes, please.
There's also this long gone summer, which, as you just mentioned, the home run chase, June 14th. Yeah. We'll look back on McGuire and Sosa's race in 1998. Both were eventually connected, as we know, to performance-enhancing drugs, putting their magical summer in a different light. McGuire, who later admitted using steroids, and Sosa, who has denied using them, both talked for the documentary. So they are both in it, current day, McGuire and Sosa, in the documentary about the 1998 season and the home run chase. This film was set to debut this coming summer at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Ooh.
And instead, they're just going to put it straight to TV, because I don't even think Tribeca is going to happen. So they are skipping the film festival circuit. They're going to put it straight to air. They are moving up the release date, as they did with The Last Dance. So my guess is the one on June 14th is probably going to be pretty well done.
Just love to see what Sammy Sosa has to say. I mean, Mark McGuire, we've heard a lot from Mark McGuire. How much is Sammy Sosa going to participate in this?
Well, Sammy Sosa now looks very different too, which has been right.
I never heard that.
There's been a lot of discussion about that in recent years. So I'm just wondering what he has to say.
McGuire had the biggest freaking forearms, man. They were like Popeye. He eats his spinach. Oof. That dude could hit the baseball. Jesus. It was his kid that was always around, right at home plate, too. McGuire's kid.
Yeah.
Picking him up, hugging him. Yeah, I can't wait to watch that one.
That one should be fun. But ESPN is trying to help fill the void. Fill the void. They're moving things up. Also, by the way, there's a story in the Philadelphia Inquirer. I don't know if they went to print yesterday or if it was in today's, but it's worth checking out. It is a story about Michael Jordan being a bully. I got to pull it up to read part of it. Because
is this the Elton Brand thing?
It basically, what do you mean?
He didn't play well. He wasn't allowed to eat after games.
Oh, so yeah, that just came out too, didn't it?
Oh yeah.
What is the, do you have that in front of you right now?
Let's see, Portnoy. I just had it. Oh shoot.
It just got put. That story just came out within the last few minutes. I saw that cross. I think TMZ may have it, so check that out. Yeah, no, the story in the Philly Inquirer today, and it actually was Mike Selsky of the Philadelphia Inquirer writes a story about Jordan. It's a column. It is very well done, but he crushes Jordan for going after Jerry Krause and making Jerry Krause the enemy and the bad guy in his documentary. And he says, like, you know, Jerry Krause wasn't perfect. And of course, you know, there are things about Jerry Krause that you can criticize, but he says, how unfair is it that Jordan goes after Jerry Krause repeatedly in this documentary through both the clips they choose to put in the documentary of Krause, what Jordan has to say about Krause, you know, current day, and the fact that Krause has been dead for 3 years. And he doesn't have an opportunity to answer for himself. And everything is handpicked by Jordan. And it's basically a criticism of the documentary that Jordan gets to make himself look good and that nobody should look at this documentary as an accurate portrayal of the history, which I think is a fair criticism of it. And we've hit on that. We hit on that earlier this week.
Yeah, we hit on it with what Ken Burns had to say about it. And forget about not all the people being alive. You don't have any control over that, but Ken Burns was saying he wouldn't do it just because Jordan had so much control over it and, you know, thereby kind of, you know, was holding them hostage. It's like if you don't
I guess, go along with what he wants out of it, then, you know, you don't get access to the footage. But, you know, hearing from the filmmaker, the documentarian, as we have now, he was on with Tutcher and Rich. That was the first time I heard him interviewed at length. He said that there was not a lot in terms of things that Michael wanted in there or you know, wanted stuff that was taken out. He said he sat down and he was really, really forthcoming on a lot of stuff. And he was really helpful in actually piecing it together when it came to telling the story. See, this is where you run into, like, you know, the double-edged sword. It's like, okay, he's got the footage and he wants, you know, to have a say in how the thing is put together. But he's also instrumental in telling the story. And it could be something as simple as, you know, like we're going to get to in these next episodes, as after he retires and then he comes back, you know, there was a game that they won that a lot of people looked at as saying, well, that's when you knew the old Jordan was back. And Jordan told the filmmaker, he's like, no, it was actually a game before that. And he knew precisely what the game was and the shots that he took. And presumably it's going to make for a much better hour of television thanks to Jordan's participation in this. Had he not been so directly involved, you wouldn't get stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. So, but I mean, you could still be involved and not have it be half produced by your company, right? Michael Jordan could still be involved in a documentary as a subject and a willing participant and not have control over it.
Yeah.
And as Salsky writes in the Inquirer, he goes back to Jordan's Hall of Fame speech when Jordan said the organization didn't play with the flu in Utah. Hitting again in his Hall of Fame speech years ago at Krause. You know, he's still pissed off about Krause saying organizations win championships. And he's like, why couldn't this guy let it go? Why couldn't Jordan let it go? He was always going to win. And so Salsky writes, no, it didn't. But then Jordan didn't find Scottie Pippen at Central Arkansas. He didn't draft Horace Grant out of Clemson. He didn't have the patience to wait 3 years for Tony Kukoc to join the Bulls. He didn't sign John Paxson and trade for Bill Cartwright and Dennis Rodman and Steve Kerr. He didn't see the genius of Tex Winter's triangle offense. And he didn't rescue Phil Jackson from the Continental Basketball Association, from the Albany Patroon, and give him a shot to be an NBA head coach. And so the point is, listen, Krause is an easy target, right, for a lot of reasons. But can the guy get a little bit of credit in the documentary for the things that he did do instead of just Jordan bitching about the fact that he was high on Tony Kukoc? You know, and it's like the only mention in a documentary that is supposed to be about the Bulls of all of the 90s, the only mentions Krause gets in a documentary is all how much he was hated. And so it just made me sort of rethink it. I don't find Krause to be likable, but he obviously did make moves to improve that team and give Jordan, you know, some good chances to win, even though Jordan was Jordan. That's all. Thought it was interesting. Someone who's hitting back at Michael Jordan. Yeah, what is that? You know what? Why don't we save it?
Yeah, okay.
Tell us the details of this next.
This piece of work.
How's it make Jordan look? How's the story make him look?
He doesn't like to lose.
Okay. We'll touch on that coming up right after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
First, our introduction. Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you saw last weekend's episodes of The Last Dance, you know that the book about Jordan that came out in the early 90s was written by Bulls beat writer Sam Smith. He was close with Horace Grant, and now Sam Smith has another detail that he has revealed today about things that happened after losses. Oh, what was it?
He said Michael Jordan hated losing so much that he wouldn't allow his own teammates to eat on the team plane after bad games that they had.
And specifically, said, quote, it was Horace Grant.
Yep. He said, quote, players would come over to me over the years and they would say, you know what he did? He took Horace's food away on the plane because Horace played so poorly. He would actually tell the stewardesses, don't feed that guy. That dude doesn't deserve to eat. He played so bad tonight.
Oh, God.
So that would be like Tom Brady after the Houston game saying, you know what? Don't you dare feed N'Keal Harry. I don't want he cut that slant route so short that forced me to throw that pick. And he didn't play after that, so he doesn't deserve to eat. Could you imagine having that much control? That's how good you were, that's how powerful you were, Jordan.
And the stewards would say, okay.
Yes, Mr. Jordan,
no problem.
The horse probably sat there with a frown on his face, and he's just got his head down, you know, probably someone's trying to slide him a cracker. Here's a candy bar.
Oh, man. All right, horse, let's get to
I put a sandwich in there for you.
This date in show history. And that is 5 years ago today. You know what was happening 5 years ago today?
No clue right now.
I do, only because we talked about it earlier.
Play it for Zoe. Let's play something for Zoe here.
What do we have?
So the today was the day it kicked off this.
This.
There is an elephant in the room.
Where?
You may be the only one who doesn't see it.
It is akin to taking a performance-enhancing device without taking the performance-enhancing device.
What's up, Dorito Dink? You still with your women.
Omitted out of respect to Mrs. Jostremski.
Jim Gray is the voice of a generation.
Shut the hell up!
The Patriots got off easy, in my opinion, okay?
He's a cheetah.
Did he take the balls and order the equipment guy to alter them?
No.
No? What do you mean no?
I'd like to tell you...
I don't want your math equations!
Joe in the Bronx, what's up, Joe?
If I got fined $1 million... I'd sell the furniture in my house.
But not my limited edition Wally chair.
How was that trip to the White House?
Did the team go?
They need to suspend Tom Brady for a year.
Prediction equals won't miss a game.
No Brady, no banner.
The show's co-host, Scott Zolak.
Well, you're Homer, Zolak. You won't say nothing bad about the team because you work there.
Put that shut on!
OMG. Spaz.
Is that big enough for you?
But isn't there a big
difference? Is it big enough for you at 10 or 10 and a half?
I was a pretty gifted thrower.
I've been on hold since the other show before you guys.
McCauley and Jastrzemski.
Brady! Brady! Brady!
Oh. The afternoon of May 6th, late in the afternoon, May 6th, the Wells report dropped. We were talking about it on May 7th, 2015. That's what we were doing. Ted Wells dropped his report 5 years ago yesterday.
So I remember being on the air, though, I remember being on the air when we got the report, and everyone was downloading it like in the middle of our show.
It was like the end of our show, yeah.
It was the end of our
show. Had a three-ring notebook, like a massive folder on it.
Well,
how many pages was in that thing?
And what I remember most about it is, you know, it just goes to show you don't remember your good moments, you remember your bad ones. And like ripping through the report live on the air, hot mics, we're doing everything, and the first thing I come across is some decision, and it was based on the kicking balls. But I said something like, you know, there was found to be no deviation, blah blah blah, and so I was like, see, there we go. Pats. Nope. See, they got away. No, they didn't do it. But I was reading the section about the K balls and not the passing balls. So then we had to, you know, reset immediately, go back, and
that $1 million song was so good. That was one of your best. That was one of your best productions.
That one I do not remember. Now see, that's the other side of the coin. Sometimes things are so bad you just forget about them entirely. I don't even know what that was.
It was Roachy. I don't know why we did it, but it was Roachy.
Yeah. Oh. It was Roach talking, and you were like, if I had a minute.
Yeah, I know. I know what it was, but I don't know what it was in reference to or anything else.
I got to find $1 million.
$1 million.
I'd sell the furniture in my house.
But not my limited edition Wally chair.
Actually, now I like it. Yeah. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Well, that came out. The fine, the $1 million fine, happened as a part of that, right? It was like 5 days later.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
5 or 6 days later that that was then dropped.
Oh, then he had the owners meetings in San Francisco where he was just, Mr. Kraft was just dejected, you know, and he thought, yeah, he was going to show up and owners were going to have his back, and he didn't. It's crazy. Crazy time. Crazy month.
Yep.
Whew.
Crazy times. 5 years ago already.
And Tom Brady actually played better when the balls were regulated. Threw better. His percentages went up. Went to 3 Super Bowls after it.
So the balls were deflated? The balls were deflated?
Well, I guess. If that's what they're saying, and he got fined and served a suspension, right? He served time for something that he was guilty of.
No, what do you think?
What do you think?
I think they just made up a rule because they thought they could nail the Patriots on something.
So you don't think they're ever
doing it? No, I think they all do. You fix the balls the way you want them.
Right. Okay.
And nobody ever cared until that Sunday against the Colts. And I think it was Tom's comment the week prior against Baltimore where maybe their coach should go study the rule book that pissed him off, Harbaugh. And they got a hold of Pagano, who was on their staff, and, oh, this guy wants to do this. Hey, we alter our kicking balls, right? They do the same damn thing to Baltimore. Like, we know Brady does it. Why don't you guys look him up? Yeah. Now all of a sudden you cared about air pressure in a football. Dude, I prepped balls for 9 years. That's what you do as a backup. We work those suckers. Too much air in this one? Take it out. All right.
Yeah, do you do that after they've been tested, though?
Yeah. But we never knew they were tested. See, that's the thing. We would have 20 balls that we did. Drew would come in, okay, give me this, that one. Yeah. That, oh, my God, there's too much air in that. We'd take it out. We wouldn't put it in a gauge to where, oh, Drew, you know, we can only take it down to, you know, 12 and a half. No, you take it out till you want it. But Drew liked it on the hard end.
No, but I'm saying, like, after the refs had checked them.
Oh, you could take a ball and say, I don't like this one. Throw it out. Yeah.
Would you take air out of him after the refs had checked?
I don't recall doing that. No, because I don't. No, because to my
I don't
point,
recall.
The more air that was in there, he liked it. He liked them hard.
I don't have any recollection of that circumstance, Your
yeah,
Honor.
I just remember him being. Yeah, we only had 4 drinks. It's like jump off the stage. 4 drinks.
Right. Let's get to headlines. 90 seconds. We're right back. Noontime hour is here. Yep. We started the day talking about the NFL.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.